We're back looking again in our teaching, which I entitled Creation, Judgment, Redemption, and Perfection, because as we go along in this teaching, we're looking at things with creation, but really we're looking here, we've been like last week looking into things concerning Lucifer and his fall, which we're going to talk a little more about that, because understanding these things, you understand why redemption and why really redemption was needed. And I want you to get a hold of this, because we looked last week and talked about the fact that Lucifer, and looking at him, and we found out that God's plan was before the foundation of the world to send Christ, and what God's plan was to do. And in doing his plan, we found that Lucifer and his fall, he never realized, he didn't have the revelation. In other words, it was a mystery. We're going to find out it was a mystery that was hidden in God. And Satan didn't know the fact that it was already in the plan before the foundation of the world, because understand, God knows everything. And if God sent Christ before the foundation of the world, if he did that, then God knew Lucifer was going to fall. He had already planned for redemption, which would mean was going to be the fall of Lucifer, and really it would come to his final judgment. He never knew it. He didn't know it. And the whole fact was that he thought he was going to exalt his throne above the throne of God. He didn't realize that he was never in the class of God. He was. This is really, you know, real weird. I mean, God was his creator. And we know this from the standpoint, if Jesus, the Bible told us when we read last week, Jesus created everything, it says. Everything that are in heaven and on earth, everything was created by Jesus. So Jesus Christ was the creator of Lucifer. And so you have the Father God, you have Jesus Christ who is the creator. Everything was created by him and for him. And so everything, you know, really, what Jesus does is Jesus carries out the mind of the Father. That's what he does in the Godhead. And what, really, we look at the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the power that brings it to pass. So in the Godhead, God has, in other words, in a sense, God's the guy that has the mind to do whatever it is done. Jesus is the one who sees that plan is carried out, and the Holy Spirit empowers it to be completed. Now, somehow, Lucifer, in his lunacy, got the idea that he could actually take over the Creator, that he knew more than the Creator did. He knew more than the one that created him. It seems to me that if you were living in heaven with the Creator, and you would figure out that he knows everything. I mean, if he always existed, which the Scripture tells us. And so, really, Lucifer must have been a lot more limited in knowledge than he ever thought he was. And much more limited in knowledge than most of Christianity would think he is. He was very limited in what... He had no comprehension of God as all-knowing. Now, I realize today, as most of Christianity, we talk about, use that term, that God knows everything. But most Christians have no revelation about that at all. Because if you really know that God knows everything, you wouldn't ever think that you could hide anything from God or he didn't know what was going on. You wouldn't think that. I mean, God knows everything. There's nothing you can hide from him. There's nothing anyone can hide from him. He knows. And in fact, before you ever did it or anything else, whether good or bad, he already knew you were going to do that. So it's just, you know, that's him being God. Now, like a lot of people, maybe we don't like to think of God on that level, but you need to think of God on that level. As I said last week and I've said before, is the fact of the fact of God being all-knowing is really, and he has a plan. God's plan never changes. He's the same all the time. Is the security of faith. If you have a God that doesn't know, you have no security to believe a thing. Because if he doesn't know you're going to do something or anything, then in other words, you could do things and he'd have to try to figure out a way to try to fix things. You know, that'd make him like a human. I don't want to worship a human. Humans are stupid. They do dumb things. I mean, that's, you know, my God, we don't want to start that. But most people, really, most of Christianity has a God in their own image. And you don't want to have a God in your image. You don't want to worship a God that's less or like humanity. You know, I want a God that's better than the guy who needed redeemed. we want to have that. One of the things I want you to get, this is something that the Lord brought to me that I want to, a revelation really that we need to understand concerning redemption and dealing with Lucifer and looking at, as we go on here to look at concerning creation, the fall of Lucifer and all the things that happened is really fulfilling God's plan. God had a plan to redeem man, really to set things in order. And what's going to happen is eventually we're going to have a universe and everything that is really where the physical and the spiritual are tied together in perfection. And that's really the end result. The end result is where the spiritual and the physical are one, which they're not right now. And the reason dealing with that is really is the fact is dealing with Satan and dealing with sin, God's plan carried out is why that's going to be able to take place. And really what happens is for eternity after that, sin will never mess anything up again. To me, that was a pretty good plan that God had. But I want you to understand this, that this fact is God has limited himself by his laws and rules, what he set up to do. He has limited himself in his interaction concerning man. God's law, the laws of God's kingdom, and this is dealing with beings. When God's dealing with spiritual beings, even when he recreated Lucifer, he didn't make robots. His angels weren't robots. They could make decisions on their own if they want to disobey or not. He makes humans in the same manner. God set up these laws and rules and created beings like this. And it's just like with salvation. God limited himself on salvation from the standpoint of dealing with man. God provided for man and taking all of man's sin, but man must respond to God based on the rules that God set of faith to be born again and become a child of God. Man has to do that. In other words, God established those rules, and it's not different for anybody. It's all the same for everyone. But God really, he limited himself. In other words, there is a power that God gave to the beings that he created. A will, for you to have a will to do what you want to do. That's the power God put in every created being that he did from any spirit being. And that and we as humans, we need to understand, we live in a body, but we're spirit beings. And we just live and housed in a body in this earth. If your body dies, your spirit has to leave, go one place or the other. It either goes to hell or it goes to heaven. It can't stay in this earth. There's no such thing as ghosts of people in the earth. They are not here. They are familiar spirits that operate, that manifest themselves as people, but they are not. You need to understand that. Nobody stays on this earth. When they die, but the scripture's clear, man leaves this earth. Nobody stays around here. Nobody hangs around and can't find out where to go. You don't have to worry. Either demons will carry you off to hell or angels take you and take you to heaven. That's the way it's done. There's no other way that it's done. The devil ain't going to leave people walking around here on the earth. He's going to haul them off to hell. That's what he's going to do with the people who follow him. And God, he doesn't leave people here because really the badge of authority in the earth is your human body. You have no. That's why Jesus had to come. God had to come in a human body to operate in authority here. If he didn't have a human body, he has no place of authority here. The only place of authority in earth. This is why demons always look for access to humans to possess a human being. And even will go to the thing of possessing animals because they can do their greatest expression through a human body or any kind of an animal's body even. They can express themselves more than they can, than a spirit can just by itself. So they're always looking for that. But this is one of the things that you need to understand because God did that. See, God couldn't take Lucifer's authority that he obtained in the earth here through Adam. God could not take that from him because God didn't give it to him. Man did. See, God set up rules in how he operates. You know, people say, you know, like they make the, if you look over Job and people's, you know, they use it and you'll see that, so I always hear ministers use it at funerals and I always think, what an ignoramus. They say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Well, is number one, you understand about the Bible. The Bible, everything in the Bible is truly stated, but everything in the Bible isn't truth. There are things in there that said where people lied. It's just telling you what they said. But what is the truth? Job made that statement, but Job made that statement in ignorance. Because if God gave things and took it away, when Adam sinned, God didn't pull his authority from him and say, hey, you can't do that. No, the devil ended up with his authority when God gave it. The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. If you don't use God's gifts or callings right, you can abuse and use the gift and callings of God in your life. And people do all the time. And they say, well, God won't let you do that. Well, get a life. We see in Adam in the beginning, he let out. He said to Adam, look, I'm going to give you dominion over everything on this earth. You got it. All the things I created, they're under your dominion. Adam sinned and gave that to Lucifer. Gave it to him. And when Jesus was tempted, people say, you know, that lots of times they don't realize in the temptation, one of the temptations that Jesus had from Lucifer, Lucifer took him up and showed him and said all the nations on the earth and said to him, if you fall down and worship me, I will give these to you who were given to me. There's actually believing ministers say, well, that wasn't really a temptation, you know, that if it wasn't a temptation, the Bible's a lie. The Bible says it's a temptation. He was tempted. Why? Because Lucifer was given the authority over the earth by Adam. The Bible calls him the God of this world. There's a world system that was handed to him by Adam. Now, for man to gain his ascendancy back, it required a man in the earth to give it back, to take it back. This is why God had to come in a human body. If God came, and there's another thing, Jesus Christ could not have come into the earth and operated as God. If he did on anything that he did on earth, he did it as God, then redemption is a lie. He couldn't do anything as God, because if he did, redemption's a lie. Then he didn't operate under his own rules and laws that he set. You'll find this, God always follows his word. Always follows his word. You don't want a God that cuts corners. That's the devil. You know, and I see, you know, a lot of Christians, they cut corners. They turn around and say, well, you know, I know this isn't right, but it's a good thing to do. You know, no, nothing's good to do if it isn't right. It might look good at the time, but somewhere along the line, payday is going to come. We're going to find out it wasn't good. And we don't do that. But you need to understand that in Revelation concerning God. Because there's a lot of things that people don't understand about Scripture because of not understanding this principle. There's a lot of things stay hidden in Scriptures because when people put God from the standpoint, he does anything he wants, then the rest of Scripture really don't even matter much. He's just doing whatever he wants. So what was he doing that he wanted and now he's not going to? Where do you start to look at this? And we need to understand how God deals with things. When Jesus was in the earth, Jesus taught and he taught in parables. The parables were always based on things of how the kingdom works. This is the whole thing as we looked in Scripture is to find out what are the principles and the operation of the kingdom? How does the kingdom work? How does it operate? Why? Because it never changes. The kingdom of God is always the same. And so if you learn the principles of how the kingdom operates, and that's what the Word of God's about, it's how the kingdom functions. It's the laws and rules of the kingdom. And this is one of the things, you weren't to learn to love laws and rules of things and how they work. Because if you learn how they work, then you can operate them. If you don't know how they work, you can't operate it. See, there's a lot of this sort of called freedom in Christianity. And freedom means sort of, oh, you just sort of be good and do what you sort of want and God just will bless you. That isn't the way it works. That's not the laws of the kingdom. That's anarchy. That's man making God. Oh, it might be. Where were we to turn that? That over there. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, it is sort of bright. It's glaring. It comes out through those things. That's prisms. But anyhow, so if we understand correctly about this stuff is what many times people, they're making up their own religion and but they say, well, you know, I love God and they talk about, oh, I believe the Bible is the word of God. But really, they've made up their own religion. And they think they don't have to follow the rules, but somehow God's going to respond to me because I'm pretty nice. That's not the way it works. That's not. And this is why people get confused. Things don't work out. I don't understand. They're such a nice person. Other people come to me and say, I just don't understand why that happened to them. I said, no, you go talk to them. You might, you know, find out. But, you know, because the devil just can't come around and target anybody he wants and do anything he wants to do or anything. I mean, if he could, what's the point of all this stuff of faith and standing and God? I mean, you can't do that. Why do things happen? The Bible says this, the curse doesn't come without a cause. The curse shows up, there's a reason. So you got to find out what the reason is. Find out what the reason is, and then, and you find out the reason, you find out to follow the rules how God laid out, because, you know, they found out this in studies that they've done just from a natural standpoint of following rules and things. And they said, taking children, they said children where their parents have definite rules and things that you have to follow, those children do better psychologically, are more secure kids than the ones who the parents just sort of let them do stuff and things. Psychologically. You know, you'll hardly ever find a suicide in a family that follows rules and regulations. Very seldom find suicides. The suicides happen mostly in the families where they have, you know, they don't have that security of there's lines you don't cross, you know. And it's good to have, you know, there's things, lines you don't cross. You know, I was taught electronics. They teach you how electric works. One of the things, the main things they taught us is lines you don't cross. It'll save your life. It'll keep you from being dead. You know, so you want to learn those. That's why you set lines. You know, it's some people don't many times understand, well, why do we have to do this and we have to do that? It's to keep you alive, dummy. That's what it's for. It's about safety, things like that, you know. So what they're for. But I want you to get across this revelation and that concerning. Jesus Christ never did any miracles or anything like that as being God. If he did, his ministry was a fraud because he operated outside the rules of being a man. He couldn't do that. That's why it says, Jesus Christ, he was anointed by the Holy Ghost and power went about doing good. If he operated as God, he didn't need an anointing. God don't need to be anointed. He operated as a man, and a man needs to be anointed. And he operated as a man, carried out redemption as a man. And in doing so, he completely blindsided Lucifer on what was going on. Now, we're going to look at Ephesians, the third chapter, because we want to read here. We find out about this because when we're looking at God's plan and things, God has things that were hidden. And now we're living in the church age and we need to understand this. I remember in church they used to say, you know, well, God, his mysteries, and we just don't know and you just can't understand things. And they would always throw those things out at you and that stuff. And they would always take part of a scripture and read it to you. And especially like in Ephesians and different places, they never read the whole scriptural things to you. They only pulled the verses out to show you something they wanted to tell you so you'd be as dumb as they were. And that's what it always seemed to me they wanted to do. You know, we can make an excuse why we don't know anything. And we don't have an excuse as Christians that we don't know things about the will of God. And we want to look at something here because we will find that God's plan concern in dealing with these things. When redemption came, and we talked about last week, Lucifer didn't see it coming. He didn't know about it. And Ephesians, the third chapter, I'm going to start at verse 8. And it says, to me, this is the Apostle Paul, he says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And the mystery, he's going to talk about, he uses the term the mystery. He said, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. You see, he's speaking back through all the ages. Now, he didn't say the age. If he'd have said the age, in fact, this is done in plural because if it had been the age, and we're living in a church age, it would be just for that age. But he said the ages. In other words, so we back up. This backs up to the foundations of the world. This backs up. There was a mystery. And that mystery was hidden by God. In other words, that mystery was not known. And from what we understand in Scripture, the only ones that knew the mystery was God himself. Now, we find as you go on and you read, we could go back through, there were certain things concerning the mystery that God, back in the Old Testament, gave Abraham some insight to the mystery and different ones that he spoke things. We have prophets who said things that revealed things about the mystery, but they weren't clear like they are in the New Testament. It wasn't there. Many things that the prophets said, but I don't think that they actually had a revelation of what they were saying. Because many times prophecy was dual prophecy. It spoke of the time that they were in, but it also had the meaning of a future event that was going to take place. And so it is understanding that many times, like of Israel, if you look at prophecy saying certain about certain judgments or things that were going to happen or certain things God was going to do at their time, you find out that those really the fulfillment of it wasn't in their time, even though part of it was, the fulfillment of it came in the future. So here we have here something that's hidden. He said God hid this thing. He said in all things that through Jesus Christ, he says, to the intent that now at this time, the manifold wisdom of God, which is dealing with this mystery. Now this is the manifold. Now this word manifold, actually if you look it up, the Greek word that's used here means many faceted. In other words, it's sort of like a diamond. They cut a diamond so it reflects light. It's like you were looking up here and this glass up here is cut and it reflects light out through it and gives it a different kind of reflection when it comes through. So he's saying, really, there's a manifold wisdom or the manifested wisdom of God, which is in his facets. It said, dealing with that. He said, so when there's all kind of facets of his wisdom. So basically it tells none of this wisdom's hidden. All the things about the wisdom of God, he said, might be made known, what? By the church. Might be made known. Now, this isn't saying made known to the church. It said be made known by the church. In other words, the church has this wisdom. It was already given to us. Well, number one, we got the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Spirit lives on, the one who knows everything about God, everything about Jesus Christ, and his job is to reveal it to us. We have the mind of Christ in us. So it's already inside of us. It's something that you and I were given. Now, he says here in this, he said, it might be made known what to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, listen to what he's saying. The church is the one. Now, he said, this manifold wisdom is to be made known by the church. In other words, God has not revealed this to Lucifer and his boys. Now, when he's talking about the heavenlies, he's not talking about the heaven where God's at. It's the atmosphere around this earth and around where all these demons and stuff are here in this earth area. The church, it says, it's made known by the church to these one. He said, why? This is according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's eternal purpose. From the beginning, God had planned that Satan was only going to learn how far this fall went. It was going to be through the ones who were redeemed. He didn't even know that. We act like, here's one thing as the church teaches, and they're wrong on it. They teach like when Jesus was raised from the dead that Satan really understood about what was going on. No, he didn't. It wasn't till Satan started to see the operation that these people who believed on Jesus had authority over him. He thought Jesus was the only guy that had authority over him. He didn't know everybody that believed on him was going to have authority over him. And we demonstrate that by walking in the light of it. Now, most of the church, 80% of the church world, doesn't display this to anybody. The devil would never know that they had any authority at all. Because they don't believe in casting out demons. They don't believe in dealing with them. They don't know anything about their authority. But the ones who do know, these are the ones who reveal this to the principalities and powers. Just think about it. Satan only learnt when the church started. The day of Pentecost came over, these guys got filled with the Holy Ghost. They went out and started healing people, casting demons out. And the devil's like, oh my God, what is this? He never saw it coming. See, the wisdom of God was manifested. The manifold wisdom of God was shown to him, which had been given to the church. He didn't know that. He had no idea this thing was coming. He didn't realize what he had done when he had Jesus crucified. It wasn't having one over him. Now, whoever believes on Jesus dominates him. They didn't know that. The devil didn't know that. He had no idea. We know here from Scripture. That was hidden. And it was going to be revealed by the church to them. He didn't say it was going to be revealed by Jesus to them. The revelation didn't come to him by revelation. You and I get revelation of the word to act on and do. He didn't get it that matter. His revelation came from the natural. He saw it happening and saying, oh, man, these guys are doing this. And we can't do anything about it. And so they saw it. And this is why verse 12, he says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So see, our operation of faith, we operate in boldness. See, concerning the mystery of God and redemption, Lucifer. As long as Christians don't act on their faith in authority over demonic powers, really, they don't walk in the light of what was given to them, and really, they're of no opposition to Satan whatsoever. They're not. Is to walk and live in this place and over into this place of authority that we have. Sin, the Bible says, sin doesn't dominate and rule over us. For sin not to dominate and rule means this, is Satan can't dominate and rule. He's the author of sin. He can't dominate and rule over us. If he rules over me, it's because I'm not acting in the authority that was given to me. So I have to learn to develop and act in the authority that was given to me. By doing so, I am enforcing the knowledge to him that was the mystery that was hidden before the foundation of the world. That, hey, this is the real thing. Here it is. And every time we do that, any time a believer walks in the knowledge of the Word of God and walks and acts in authority over the demonic powers and whatever else that sin brings and offers, we're reinforcing that to Satan of his constant defeat. You got defeated. See, if anything right now, is one of the things is Satan loves the fact that so much of the Spirit-filled church world has moved away from the things of the Spirit. He loves it. Because this means he can act out more. But there's one thing that he realizes now, is when the church age started up, he realizes his defeat. He understands his limited amount of time. He understands that now. See, there's one thing is Satan didn't get and understand. We'll talk about this more. But when this creation started off where God put man as we know it, there were beings something like man beforehand, but it wasn't like they weren't created in the likeness and the image of God. They weren't created in that manner. Man is a specific, special creation by God. It's like the Lord had showed me when I was back. I talked about in the beginning, we started off with this teaching, when the Lord spoke, showed me and had the vision and then said to me, man is his key to put sin away forever. And in doing so, we need to understand that God's intent when it came to the redemption of man, that God started back from the beginning, and when he set in motion the plan and Satan's ignorance of it, Satan didn't realize that God had set a limit of time on this creation we live in. And it's a time set of 7,000 years. He didn't know that. We need to understand the importance of that. Because of him setting his limitation, when Satan stepped in and once he deceived Eve and then Adam followed in sin and gave him the authority in the earth, now his authority is tied to a limit amount of time and he can be judged and put away forever. If he would not have done that, he could have went on for eternity and never ended up being fully judged for what he wouldn't end up in a lake of fire. There wasn't going to be a lake of fire. The reason this whole thing ends is because he got suckered in. This stupid idiot thought he was a genius and he was going to take over God's throne, and he didn't realize God had a plan set. And when this man Adam showed up and God made him, that stupid moron went and deceived that guy's wife. And he didn't realize he just tied himself to be put away in 7,000 years was going to be put away forever in the lake of fire. He didn't realize when he stepped into this one here, he stepped in and did this to this man, that God was going to come as a man. And it was going to end everything for him. He didn't know that. This is why. Do you ever wonder why? Why is our creation for such a period of time? See, 7 years is number of completion. God has... It'll let you understand the ignorance of Lucifer. Lucifer was not even near as intelligent as he thought he was. He wasn't even close in the ballpark. When you take what the revelation that people can walk in today in the church that they can have if they want to, he don't get revelation. We do. Every Christian should be much smarter than Lucifer. Sadly to say, that's not the case. He overruns most Christians. We have revelation, but the church is basically preached to them. You can't have, we're just trying to hang on down here. We're just trying to get by. Any Christian can know more than Lucifer does. Lucifer can't get revelation. You know, really, Lucifer can't even tell what you're thinking unless you put it on your voice and say it. He can't even tell. This is one of the great things about tongues. You know, Lucifer doesn't even know some things that you're praying about till you voice it about it. He doesn't. The spirits around you don't even know it is. That's one of the things about praying in tongues. You pray in tongues, he don't know what you're saying. People say, why would you want to pray in tongues? You don't know what you're saying. Why? Because there's things need to be said that demon powers don't need to know about. But we can speak out. See, if you won't ever pray out of your natural, you're very limited, and you're and everything that you pray about, the devil knows what you're praying about. See, this is one of the things that's praying. That's why Paul said, I pray in tongues more than y'all. It's one of the things that praying in tongues is a hugely important thing. God has provided supernatural, but the church wants to operate in their mentality. They only want to do what they do out of their by their mind. And most Christians are out of their mind. So and it's to say, well, why would God have it? We can't understand it. One of the best things that ever happened to you. There's some things, boy, it's best I don't know. I'll tell you what, till we get enough revelation to understand and operating in things. Some things don't need to be proclaimed till they're ready in time to change things in the spirit. That's why saying certain things at certain times is not a good thing to do till it's time to change certain things. That's why certain things prophetically should not be said till the time. It's important for people to grow up spiritually to understand it. There's things that I know that I'm not going to say because it's not the time to be said. And there will be a time come for it to be said. And when it comes to said, it changes things in the spirit realm. And there's other things sometimes that have to be made ready in the realm of the spirit before certain other things are said. Something done before its time could ruin everything. And you need to understand, this is why we need to learn to be led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. It sure would be helpful. But understand Lucifer's ignorance. Don't uphold Satan like he's some kind of brilliant. Satan is not God. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't know. Loads of stuff he doesn't know. Satan's been learning. The more the revelation that the church walks in and does, the more he gains to see, oh man, how far this redemption things go. And I will just say this to you. Before Jesus Christ return, there will be a people who will rise up who are going to be walking in the fullness of redemption before the church is taken, and Lucifer's going to find out about what full redemption's all about. And it'll surprise a lot of Christians too. But that's the plan of God. Because the full redemption is going to come in. There's things that concerning the redemption, and while we won't go into that, we could talk over this thing. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter we want to go to. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, I'm going to start with verse 7. The Apostle Paul says here, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It was the hidden wisdom which God ordained. Again, he says here, before the ages, it was what? For our glory. Oh, isn't that good news? It was for our glory. This mystery. Now he said, now listen what he says. Which none of the rulers of the age knew. Now he says none of the rulers of the age. Now he's speaking about an age. He's talking about this age in which we live here where Satan came and deceived Adam and this age that we're in. He's talking about the rulers of this age. They didn't know this thing. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Oh, we used to hear that scripture used all the time, pulled out of context. Because they never read verse 10. Because why? It would shoot them in the foot. So see, their Bibles, they had blacked that one out. No. It says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So see, the mysteries are not hidden from us. They are revealed. God has revealed these things to us. So that's God's plan. See, as people say, well, God don't want you to know things. Well, he should have never put this scripture in the Bible if he does. He should have never given me the Holy Spirit and told me he knows all the things of God. He's going to reveal it to me. He should have never said that. If he didn't want me to know things, he should have never said that. Well, God does want you to know things. But we find out that the rulers of the age and the rulers of the age are dealing with the demonic powers. Satan's the god of this world. If they would have known about this plan of redemption, they would have never done what they did. I'll tell you what, I bet there was a bunch of demons who just cursed Lucifer for a long time after he did with God, because they thought they were really getting something here. Boy, they had the Son of God. They were, oh man, we got this thing here. Didn't know. They just signed their death warrant. and the bad part about it, you know, when you, in the natural, when you get a death warrant, you know, that to, for them to execute you, you can go. They have to allow you to have so many. You know, you can go through appeals and that kind of stuff. Satan don't get any appeals. No. There's no appeals on this thing. It's done. It's finished. His time is set. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, we just want to get that. The whole point of this is the Lord wanted me to bring these things in is because when we deal with the plan of God, God's plan, you always got to stick with God. When I was at Rhema, one of the instructors that we had, he used to always say to us, he used to always tell us, he'd always say, now you read stuff in the scriptures, and he said, you know, sometimes you go to the Old Testament, he said, some things can seem a bit dark when you read them and that stuff, but he said, there's one thing you need, you always stick with God. God's always right in what he does. God's always right. You got to learn to do that. Stick with God. And because when we look at redemption and the things, and God wants you to see this because too much has been alluded to Satan as if he had some kind of wisdom and he was somehow, you know, pretty smart. But when you really look and identify scripture, you find out this guy wasn't smart at all. Anybody that thought how he could have ever equated himself to God and not even having a clue at all what was going on. He didn't have a clue at all what was happening. I can't imagine living in the presence of God and not realizing how brilliant God is. How do you... I just don't... You know, I mean, since I got born again, and the more I get to know about Jesus, I mean, it just amazes me. Jesus amazes me with, you know, not just what he's done, what he is, and what it just amazes me, and how I could think. You know, I'm going to exalt my throne above his, and I'm like, just like, hold it, and we're dealing with a being, and we're going to talk more about this being and a little bit more about him, but we want to look at something here, and from Hebrews the first chapter of Scripture here, because we're going to go over to Genesis again, because we're going to look here again in the foundation of the world, some things. Because the reason we went through these things, we want you to understand there was a fall of Lucifer, and I want you to see about this being that fell. That's why we're talking about these things. You get to see in this, and learning all these different things, you start to understand more about God's plan, because what we do, it isn't just information about things. It's to understand God's plan from the beginning, from redemption, from the beginning to the end, why God did what he did. Most Christians never know. They'll live and die. The average Christian is going to live and die and never know why God did what he did. They do not have an idea. It was for me from the foundation when I was a young child, there was a... I was always very interested in things because people would talk about God doing things, and I would ask questions every once in a while that my parents didn't like. I would ask questions because in theirs, you know, they thought it as you were questioning God, and why? Well, I found out over time they were really limited in learning anything because they never questioned anything. Because I found out over time, once I got born again, the questioning of things led me to revelations. And I understand why most Christians never get revelation, because they never question anything. And by question, they never ask God. Oh, no, you don't touch that. He's God. Boy, you just stay back. He'll hit you a bolt of lightning. My God, he's in order of the throne. You're not to anger him. Get him, man. Dear God. He's upset. You know, especially if you got up the wrong side of bed this morning, you never know. You just, man, it might be a bad day. And they stay away from it. But we want to look at these things because we want to understand why God's doing what he's doing. What's God's intent? Did God intend to harm man or do anything? No, never. He never had that intent. But God set in motion, and he made beings, and these beings have choices to make, and he created them. But we were created for a purpose. And is understanding that, is especially the fact that we accepted Christ, it's not just so we get to heaven. It's not just for that. I mean, we are part of the eternal plan of God that is going to set everything one day into perfection. God did not do it by himself. The Bible says we're workers together with him. God just ain't going to have a crowd. Heaven is not having about a place to have a crowd around you to worship you because you got a head so big. You just don't know what to do with it. You know? Everybody's got to worship me, man. You know, just is that what he's doing? You know, did you ever think about with a new heaven and earth, what is God going? What's God's plan about what he's going to do with this thing? If we're working with him here, what do you think we get up here? We're just going to be some slave robots that just want to... I don't know what people think heaven is that is about or what it is. I'm not sure what how people think. Understand this. God's a creator. And he created people like him. That's why this is one of the things is Kenneth Hagin said this, and I agree with him 100%. One of the reasons I was drawn into the occult as a young man was because of the church, because of the lifeless, dead church. In me was a desire for supernatural, and the church had none. The church had nothing but dead religion. People say, oh, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to go to heaven. And I used to think, God, would you leave, please, now, today, die, do something. Because they weren't doing anything here. They did nothing here. Their lives were a waste here. There was no power. They talk about a great God in the Bible, and all it was a book. Well, I can read King Arthur. They had great things happen. But, you know, it was just in the book. That's all it was. But it was nothing ever happened. It was never supernatural. I want a supernatural life. That is the craving. That's why today, like when people look at people say, all this superhero stuff and they got, you know, the Avengers and all that stuff. The world loves it because somebody wants somebody that's a superhero. They ain't got it in the church. There is none. They're all dead. You know? They want something supernatural. They want something. Man has a desire. Man was created in the image of God, and God is a supernatural creator. I don't care if you're a sinner. You have that same spark of life in you. It is for supernatural. I can't stand be around ministers who don't like supernatural. I can't stand to be around them because it's part of the death culture. You know, you just stay over here and you don't show any life. You know. We're created like God. It is the desire with man. I'll never forget when I was introduced as a sinner. God gave me Kenneth Hagin's book, How to Be Led by the Spirit. There's one thing as I knew is I was involved over, you know, in sorcery and things. I believed in the spirit realm and I believed there was supernatural in things. And I, you know, operating in that area, knew we could get demons to manifest and do things. And Christians couldn't get God to manifest for anything they ever tried. They couldn't get him to manifest. And I learned to understand, you know, I understand why. The principles of faith work the same in Satan's kingdom as they do in God's kingdom. If you don't operate in faith over in Satan's kingdom and trusting in him on things, you don't get nothing to manifest either. So to me, when I got born again, it was the easiest thing in the world to get over it. And is it because they both operate the same way? It's just whoever you put your faith into manifests. That's the way. It's spiritual law. Satan didn't invent it. God did. Whether for good or bad, it works. On whichever side you want it to work on. So, and I learned that. And then, you know, to me, I had but this great desire. When I got Kenneth Hagin's book, and I'll never forget, I went to the guide, I read the book, and I said, you know, this is the first Christian I have ever heard of that actually knows how the spirit realm works. And it was. I had never heard in my life any Christian ever talk about, ever really knew what the spirit realm worked like. It was the first one I was ever introduced to. And really, that was one of the things that big things that ended up leading me to follow Christ, was the fact of there is supernatural. If I was not offered a supernatural God, I'd have never accepted Jesus. I'd have never accepted it. Who wants it? I didn't want that dead stuff I was raised around in that didn't work and didn't do anything. And the devil come along and kill the best guy in town and then say, God took him for a reason. You know, and the scumbag, the guy that's terrible, he has to be 90. You know, say, God's an idiot. What's he doing out here? You need to trust him. Trust him? My God, he's insane. Who wants to trust him? And, you know, we preach an insane God and tell people to love him. He's schizophrenic. You never know what he's going to do. And he definitely probably hears voices. Because you never tell what he's going to do. And so, oh, that's good preaching anyhow. Glory to God. I want us to look over to Hebrews because we're going to go back into this area here some. Glory to God. Time flies by when you're having fun. Hallelujah. Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 10 says, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the world, and the heavens are the works of your hands." And so we look at this, really, as a reference to, is the fact of, go back to Genesis, the first chapter, and because in Genesis, the first chapter says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And really, this is a tie to that scripture. Now, I want to read something to you here, because is the Bible, one thing is the Bible deals in concerning, really is with the history of man. The majority of the Bible deals with the history from the creation and what God's and God's working through mankind. And so it's really the history of us and God's working through that. Now, I want to read from Job. It's something out of Job, but Job, that the Lord said to Job. And I want you to get this, because it gives us a little bit of revelation about before the foundation of the earth. It gives us a revelation about something here. The Job that was said by Job, God, in his answering, Job had, you know, said a lot of things to God about, you know, he got over to, we thought, you know, I did right and God did this to me or that too. With God, didn't do anything to him. The devil did. The devil did all those things. They said, well, God allowed it. Well, it's number one, the devil, if you open the door to the devil and he runs you over, you say, God allowed it. Well, no, we actually, in a sense, you left the door open, not God. And see, this is what people... See, we need to understand this. God has established rules on how things work, and He don't change it just because you're ignorant. You know, if a little baby in their ignorance crawled out into a street and got run over by a car, we can't... God killed that baby out there. No. Don't matter how innocent that child is, if it does something that puts it in danger, no matter how ignorant it is of it, that doesn't stop things from happening. We need to understand that. See, Christianity, they think somehow I can walk in all ignorance and God ought to take care of me, and if we don't, well, He had a purpose to kill me. What people do that and really created those things, they don't want to admit their own ignorance and stupidity. So it's easy to blame God and put it on Him instead of saying, you know what, I was dumb, I didn't do the right thing. So we turn around and start a religious belief that makes me feel good and puts it on God. We have two things that we do in Christianity. It's either God's fault or the devil's fault. And most of the time, it's our fault. The majority of the time, it's our fault. And if you learn that, why? Curse don't come without a cause. Why is this happening? What, Lord, what did I do? You know, most people are, why God? I've hardly ever had a person ever come to me and say, you know, what did I do wrong if this happened? They'll always come and ask me, why God let it happen? And they don't realize it. They're arrogant. Now, they don't see themselves in that way, but they're arrogant. Because they're going to, first thing they do is they come selfish, self-centered. This is somebody else's fault. They never examine themselves first. That shows one thing about them. They don't walk in love. Because they don't check themselves first. It's always somebody else. You have to learn. I've learned this a long time. The first guy to be checked out is Ed. Ed's the first guy to be examined. If something happens, and God, you know, I even do concerning other people. I go to God. God, where was it missed on it? What can we do to correct this thing? What can we do? I don't go to God. You go to praying God and blaming Him. Don't be surprised. You say, I talked to God and He don't answer. I wouldn't talk to you either. You cause problems, come and blame it on me. I ain't talking to you. Forget it. What's it, dear God? Well, you need to get real. Now, Job here in the 38th chapter, this is the end of the thing, and Job is down here. God's going to talk to Job. Now, in verse 1, Job, this is God. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge?'" Have you ever done that? Hallelujah. I've had to repent. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I've been pretty stupid on that. Okay, now he says, "Now prepare yourself like a man." That's how God talks to Job. You prepare yourself like a man. You said a bunch of things. Now, we're going to find out about who's in charge here. He said, "I will question you, and you shall answer me." He said, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" Now, this is an interesting statement. Now, this is a piece of revelation. He said, "Job, where were you when I laid the foundation? Where were you at?" God's talking and taking back and speaking to him before the earth was ever created. He's talking back to the foundation of the earth before the creation as we know it. He's taking him back. He's saying this, "Where were you then?" See, God's speaking of his eternal this eternal God. Notice what he says. Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? He said, to what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? Now listen to what he says. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. He said, look, when all this happened, now he just made a statement here. This is before Lucifer's fall. Because what does he say? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. This is before Lucifer's fall. This is when everything was in unity in heaven. This is before Lucifer's fall. He said, where were you when this took place? He just told us here, this sure wasn't in our creation. In our creation, there's a devil. And he was here. He's talking about a time when that didn't exist. He said, all the sons of God. And they're referred to as, they're not sons of God as we're sons of God. But he's talking about these beings, these ones he created. He said, "They all the sons of God shouted for joy. He said, where were you when this took place? Well, are these the words of God or somebody made these things up? So there was a time before this, before the foundation of the world. So before the foundation of the world, there was a time, this time period. So this backdates to whenever, before Lucifer fell, this was taking place. And so God moves the things back, so we know this. From the standpoint, this creation that started when this creation of the earth, of not as our creation, as when man was put on this planet. Before this planet was created, before this ball that was sitting here that was covered with water on the first day, time before that, Lucifer hadn't fallen. So sometime after the earth was created, so we know, because, and here's one thing, I think it's probably easy to figure out, somehow Lucifer was tied somehow to this planet. Somehow he was tied to something here. Either he was given some kind of authority here, but we're going to look at some other things later on about that and look at Lucifer, some things that are said about him of who he was, because the scripture does tell us some things. And some of you will find probably as being, could be pretty interesting about him. We're going to, and I'm not going to go further because it's going further tonight, what we want to go into, we'd have to stop and it wouldn't be good. I think we ought to end here because we're going to go on to look at how did the earth go from the sons of God shouting to joy to over to the area where we go into to Genesis in the 1:2 in the second and come to void and without form. What happened between these time periods? There's certain things we know and we don't know. There's questions that people have about. One of the things we know this from a scriptural standpoint, a third of the angels fell with Lucifer. So it was a third of them fell. When we talk about these in numbers, now I want you to think about this from the standpoint, because the Bible talks about this with individuals concerning angels. And every being that is born into the earth, there's an angel. They used to call a guardian angel to people want to or whatever. I remember Brother Hagin talking about it. Brother Hagin made mention about the fact that, in fact, the Lord told him, and he said, from the time that you were born, from the time he was born, Kenneth Hagin was born, he was born stillborn, and ended up and was dead for over an hour before he came to life. Pretty miraculous. But the Lord told him, he said, from the time that you were in your mother's womb, he said, my angels were over you to protect you. So there's more than one angel. But Brother Hagin, one time, Jesus appeared to him, and there was this big angel with him, and it was a big guy, real big guy. He said, this big guy. And he said, who's this? He said, that's your guardian angel. He said, what? He said, yeah, it's your guardian angel. He said, he's been with you all the time. He said, everybody has a guardian angel, but most people never use them. You don't walk by faith. Your angel just walks around and goes, oh, boy, I wish there was something to do. There was over in Lebanon Valley, there was a guy who had a vision one time, and he said this, and I had a guy tell this story. He said he was praying, and he had a vision in the South Mountains down along Lebanon. He said it was just filled with angels down through in the mountains. And in a vision, he said to God, God, what is this? What are these visions? What are these? All these angels down here? He said, they're waiting for the church to do something so they can do things. He said, they're just waiting. You see, Angels work to carry out the will of God. And when people aren't doing anything, when church, you know, just going along and Christians are just living their just life and doing their things, they aren't. I had a vision here maybe about 5 years ago. I was praying. I was just praying in the Spirit. And there were certain things that I was praying about, but I got over and I was just praying in the Spirit. When I was praying in the Spirit, I had this vision. And in this vision, I'd see these angels, and these angels were like sitting in one area. And as I'd pray, then certain angels would just take off and go out. And then I continued. I was in the vision. I was still praying in tongues. And I'm praying in tongues and doing what I'm doing here, but I could see it in the Spirit. And as I prayed, then some more angels would go out and go do stuff. And then finally, you know, in just my little mind, I finally started, Lord, what's this about? What I'm seeing this, what is this? And the Lord said, you get over here doing this. He said, you're like a military commander. He said, you're sending angels out to do things. Now, I didn't know that when I was doing in tongues, that's what I was doing. See, that's why you got to pray in tongues. See, people, when you get over and you get in this thing and your little old pea mind, that little brain you think got rolling, I think you're pretty smart up there in that head, and realize how stupid you are. You see, we have to do everything that either we have to feel good when we're doing it, or it has to be a goosebumps, or it's got to be some kind of thing, or we don't do it. We don't realize. You get over in the areas, because we talk about faith. Faith isn't in the seen realm. It's not in the feeling realm. You learn to pray in tongues. You know, and I always pray in tongues. I say, Holy Spirit, there's things you know needs to be prepared. I have no clue what to do. But you know, so I'm yielding my mouth to you, and my tongue's yours now, and so you know what needs to be done, and so you just pray it out through me. I don't have to have feelings to do it. The Bible says this, when I'm praying in tongues, I'm edifying myself, I'm building myself up. That's what it says. I don't have to feel like it's building me up. But I can tell you this, I know when I pray in tongues more that I can tell when I do and when I don't. Because when things arise and things come, if I've spent enough time praying in spirit, I'll tell you it's a whole different thing when you got to step out and deal with something. And when you don't, that's why many people say, I just don't know why it don't work. I do. People have no power to do it. They don't have any power to meet it. You got to get yourself over. You spend time praying in other tongues and do it, you know. Just like driving, I just prayed in tongues the whole time driving up here tonight. I can pray in tongues, you know, I don't need it. You know, I didn't get one goosebump. I didn't get any kind of feeling out of here. I don't need a feeling out of here. You know, you could change a nation praying in tongues and you never feel a thing. And see, we need to get out of this. Christianity is mostly a feeling and seeing group of people today. And they don't really. They want the supernatural, but the supernatural will manifest when we operate in the area of the unseen. If we operate in the area of the unseen, then things will manifest. What we want is things to manifest, and if they do, then we'll operate in the area of the unseen. There's no point to it. You don't need to. If things are going to show up, you don't need to. So, praise God. It's good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. But we're gonna look at some of these things as we go along here. Concerning the Word of God. We're going to get into Genesis concerning the creation, and then we're going to go back over because we want to talk to some things specifically about Lucifer, what the Bible says. There's some things that are taught concerning Lucifer, and over the years, I mean, I've heard people teach certain things, but I found this out. The Lord, this thing goes back a few months now of this here, that the Lord started to talk to me about things and told me certain things that were, I was surprised, showed me things in scriptures, and I was really surprised because people have taught them in certain ways. But when I went back over and started to look at them, I thought, well, they didn't say what people said. Hold it. These scriptures don't say this. Men just took it as being, you know, and we got to watch what we pass on down the line. Because it's number one, God don't put things in the Bible just so you have information. It's for purpose. God, you know, understand this. God's not a God of many words. And you can know that by the Bible we got. He's not a God by many words. But what He says is all life, and the revelation that you can get from just what He said is amazing. And this is why it's so important to sit down and making sure that we're looking at what actually God said. And it is so easy, as I've said in this teaching, is starting off as it is so easy to get over where people read the Bible and they're under their own religious ideas and thinking, and they get there and they read a scripture, and everybody's had it happen where we read through things and you know, I had one time. The Lord said, told me to read a certain thing, and I went and read it. And I thought, well, that says, you know, such and such. And the Lord said to me, read that again. And I read it again. And I read it again. And I read it again. He kept telling me to read again, read again. Finally, all of a sudden, the light went on. I was reading the exact words on there, but my whole thoughts are what people had said. And all of a sudden, I saw the words I was reading, and I said, almost everybody I know had ever taught don't teach this scripture, right? That isn't what that scripture says. See, people pass down, and then they just pass it on and hand it over to the next person. And we pick it up. And that's what Kenneth Hagin used to always say to us, don't take things because I say them. Read the Bible and make sure it says it. Most Christian, the average Christian, does not do that. They'll just take what somebody says. And they'll never go over and they won't look to see if the Bible literally said it. Look to see if the Bible literally says it. Read words. Find out what words mean. That is hugely important part. Because the Bible uses words, especially in our culture today, the Bible uses words that we don't use in our regular walk around life. Most people don't even know what they mean anymore. Especially in our culture today, there's many people that are not spiritually really inclined to things. And the Bible's no more than a religious book, even among Christians. And Christians don't, they think they know what words mean. I never have studied any subject that God directly told me to go study. Almost every time I go and I start going through things, He always stops me and say, go look up what that word means. And I'll go look it up and I'll find, gee, because when you look them up, I'm looking for Greek and Hebrew, whatever it is. And I'll look up how a word's used, not just definition. How's that word used? Because it is. It makes a difference in different languages how certain words, even though you have a certain meaning, how is it used? And I go and look them up and I think, dear God, that isn't at all what I thought. It's not at all. And really, understand this. God had people use language to convey these things. We have to know what they were saying, not what we think about what they were saying. And most Christians will measure what they read in the Bible against the American culture and the use that we Americans use things in language. And we are mostly wrong. That's why you have to go back and look at things. That's why it's a study to show yourself approved unto God. You got to look at things. And I always look back at meanings, especially when I was going down through the teaching on this. There was just a number of things the Lord had me say, go back over and look at these things. Look with what they say. Now, you know, I'm teaching right now on this subject. And understand, this is not any kind of thing of bragging. A lot of the things we're looking at here, there was things that I've heard other people say about things that got me interested in some of these things that I started teaching. But I've never really sat down and looked at anybody who ever really taught any extensive about these kinds of things. They usually, most people don't. Kenneth Hagin made, I remember, a couple statements I've ever heard him made about the creation before. He made the statement and said, well, there's not a whole lot said in the Bible about concerning that time. And I thought it was really interesting because at that time when I heard him say them, it wasn't about a month later, the Lord started showing me some stuff in the scripture. And I thought, wow, he didn't know this. But when I started over here into this, the Lord spoke to me about this. He said, there's going to be revelations, he said, of the scriptures. He just said, because I want you to go over and start to teach these things. He said, there's revelation that needs to be brought out in this day and time that has not been brought out, but needs to be brought out in this day and time. There's things that need to be shown and understood. And we're not going to find it just here where I'm teaching. There's things that people need to know. When Kenneth Hagin left, he said he knew things that he said he didn't teach. He said, because people weren't ready for them. It is a matter for people to get ready to hear things. There's things that you don't need taught to you because you're not ready yet to hear it. And we need to understand how important. We think somehow we're just supposed to get. I mean, and I've said many times, you know, you don't take a first grader and, you know, start teaching them calculus. If they're not ready to hear that, you give them calculus, you'll probably mess their life up. You know, you'd say things they should have never heard. Because they'll get thinking in things when they're not prepared, when their mind and their heart ain't even ready for it. And you do that, and we need to understand that. That's why you need to develop and grow. Christians are lying to, you know, so many Christians want to know about the end, and they can't even live the beginning. You know? They can't even walk a decent Christian life, and they want this great revelation about meeting Jesus. It ain't going to be a pretty meeting with Jesus if you ain't living right. You know, let's get the first things first, and then you find out about that running into him over there on that side. Because much of Christianity is ignorant about redemption itself, of why redemption, what is this all about, what was God doing. Most of Christianity is afraid to ask certain questions. They're afraid to ask God. They're afraid to say anything because they think it. You just don't touch these things. He's God and you just let it alone. And they don't realize how personal he is and what he wants us to understand about him. You can never get really close to God any more than you know him as being very personal. If God is somebody that is really bright that you have to stay away from and he's nervous and he makes you nervous to be around him and that stuff, that's really an immaturity. That's dealing with immaturity, and most of the church is immature. Faith is based on a personal relationship with God. And the better you know him and the more really personable he is to you, the more confidence you'll have in him. And when you start to understand that you can ask him and he wants you to know. I am sure from one thing, even from when I was a little Christian, you know, kid starting off in this thing and baby, really probably if we want to compare to the knowledge of God, it's like I'm a baby. But yet, he wants to reveal things. He wants to show things. He's not trying to hide things from us. The reason he thinks people haven't known is because of their immaturity keeps pushing them away, and they're taught to stay away. They're taught you don't touch things, you don't go, because God's nervous, and you don't, you know. And I found out I'm a question asker because I found that's the way I learn. I don't know how other people learn, but I just want to know things. You know, the Lord spoke to me about he could even use sinners to bring revelation and understanding the things where he couldn't with saints. You know, it's amazing because I've heard people call themselves Christian scientists and Christian this and Christian that do some of the dumbest things you've ever heard in your life. And yet, you take like a man like Einstein. Einstein, really, through his theories and stuff that he came through and some of the things that he did, really were absolutely confirm things about scriptures, and really we can see God in his creation by the things that he came up with. Now, he wasn't a Christian. But he wasn't a Christian, yet revelation, he looked into things and would look into things. See, people sometimes don't. We like the things of the surface, but it's been like that through all the ages. You know, one of the guys who came along was an atheist, and he was really came up to believe. Now, I don't know that he's a Christian, but he didn't believe there was a God, but because he was one of the first ones to really get into a deep study of DNA and found out and said, you know, he said, there's impossible. This is what he said. This guy lives in England, one of the top guys, scientists in DNA. And he came to the thing and he said, when you study DNA and you study detail, he said, there's no man can be honest and tell you that he don't believe in a creator, because he said, it's impossible. He said, the DNA turned out the way it was by chance. He said, it couldn't have. He said, it's an impossibility. There's a guy who was an atheist. In fact, he was one of the leading atheists. He was like some atheist group. He was their leader. But he came by his study. My God, we can't get Christians to study the Bible to stop and say, you know, God is really so. You know, they sit around and wonder, you know. But people find out. They get over into looking into things. And isn't it something that God has to bring these things out through to convince Christians that I didn't have to know about DNA to know God was real in himself. I didn't have to find that out. It was a shame, but there's many Christians have to find things out like that before they get to believe it. Most Christians are Thomas. Most Christians are Thomas. I believe it when I see it. Hallelujah! We ain't going there. Amen? Father, I want to thank you tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for the light of your word, which is wonderful. And I thank you, Lord God, you have things to reveal us in these times, Lord God, that, as I said, Lord, it's not to take us to some place where we just get some big head of all we know, but, Lord God, of understanding the place that we need to walk, the place that we need to live in this day and time. And surely, Lord, it is the place of the supernatural. Lord God, that we're not just people that we read out of a book that we were created in the likeness and image of God, that we would live like the likeness and the image of God in the earth. That's what we want. We want to walk it and live it. Hallelujah. Lord God, and surely do, we want to be able to teach the devil his lesson from the church of the mystery of God, of his total defeat and failure. And Lord God, that he has no victory over the church. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God. Father, you're setting things in order these last days. You're bringing things to revelation, Lord God, that to bring clarity to us, to walk in this glory that you have prepared in this time. And Lord God, we're going to walk in that glory with you. You said we're workers together with you. We thank you. Lord God, we're going hand in hand. Lord God, we're walking together. Lord God, you're doing your part, and we're going to do our part. And I thank you for it, Lord God. And Lord God, we thank you for empowering us. Lord God, your great grace that works in us, your ability that works in our behalf, Lord God. And Father God, we will complete your plans and purposes before the return of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.